Hey Podcast, Planet Boom have released a brand new album, JC Squad. It's available on all digital platforms, so why don't you download it today? This week, we have Pastor Rudy Nickerud sharing from his sermon title, Remember.
Could you stand to your feet? And we're going to read a little bit out of the Bible. I went to bed with this verse ringing in my head last night. I sprung it on our media team last service, so I don't know if they've got it this service, but Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, my soul." Look at them. They've got it. "All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Do you know there's benefit to knowing Jesus? Do you know there's a privilege to being in right relationship with God? It comes with blessing attached to it. It comes with provision attached to it. It comes with favor attached to it. It comes with a benefit that maybe other people don't have, but that's the blessing of knowing God. Anyone thankful that they are in right relationship with God today? There's a benefit over your life. Can somebody say, "Forget not"? Forget not. That's right. Now I got three more verses for you. Can you handle three more? John 14, 28 says, "Remember," somebody say, "Remember." "Remember, remember, forget not, what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you loved me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father who is greater than I am." As Jesus speaking to his disciples, remember, remember. Ephesians 6, verse 8. "Remember," somebody say, "Remember, that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free." That's good news. Last verse for you for now. 2 Timothy 2 verse 8. It says, "Always." Well, that's good. You're warming up. "Always. Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news that I preach." Paul speaking to Timothy, that's the good news I want to preach to you today as well. We serve a God who defeated hell, death, and the grave, who is victorious. He's always been victorious. He is still victorious. The Bible says that every enemy was made a footstool unto Jesus, that He is a name over every other name, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, seated at the right hand of the Father, that He has prepared a place for us, seated in heavenly places. Come on, do you remember today the benefit of God, the victory of God, the strength of our God, the glory of our God, the might of our God, the power of our God, the goodness of our God, the love of our God? Turn to your neighbor and say, "Remember." I want to preach to you today just for a couple of moments about that thought, remember. You can stay standing. See you, Dr. Clayton, prematurely wanting to sit down. He's a hard worker. He probably needed it for a moment. That's all right. I'll take a moment more of your time. Is that all right? What a blessing. Come on, let's pray. God, we thank you for your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. It's good to have fun in the house of God. Joy is the strength that you give us. God, I thank you for your presence and power that is already here. But Lord, I come before you and ask for your anointing upon each one of us today. God, as we gather around your word, which is already anointed, Lord, I pray that your word would do exactly what you intend it to do today. God, that it would separate between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. God, that it would cut into the very depths of our heart. God, that you would break us free from any chain that may be trying to hold us. God, that you would elevate us, that you would propel us, that you would accelerate us. God, that you would shift us forward today. Holy Spirit, I'm asking for the breath of heaven in this room today, that you would move upon each of us. We don't want to walk out of this room the same way we walked in. God, we want to walk out changed. We want to walk out with revelation. We want to walk out with your power and your favor. God, we want to walk out today changed by you. God, would you come and accomplish exactly what it is in your heart today that you have laid up waiting for us? And we give you all the honor. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody shout, amen. 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 You may be seated. You may be seated. What a blessing. Remember. Remember. Remembering is important. How we remember things what we remember is important. You know, I've heard actually Pastor Russell talk about this a couple of times in the last few weeks. But if you think about the way a car is set up, when I drove here this morning, my car had a big old windshield in front of it. It is there so that I can see everything in front of me without hindrance, without limitation. But in the midst of my view, there are just a few small spots that allow me the opportunity to glance backwards just to see where I've come from. And that, I think, is a great perspective and proportion for how much time we should stay forward focused in our life and how often we should glance backwards. I believe God has called us to set our eyes forward, to set our eyes heavenward as well. Upwards and forwards is where He is calling us. But remembering things is important. I read you three verses in the Bible, in fact, four just then, that talked about remembering, forgetting not who our God is, that He has always been good, that He is the same yesterday, that's looking back, today, right now, and forever. As far as we can look forward and as far as we can look backwards, all we will see is the goodness of our God. Remember. We were gathered around at my brother's house a few weeks ago for Christmas, and he lives up in Brisbane, and I love Melbourne. Melbourne's the greatest city in all of Australia, and I might say even the world, but I'll be honest, I was pretty happy to get out of Melbourne just for a moment at the end of last year. It was nice. It was nice to be somewhere else. And so we were up in Brisbane, and we gathered around, and my dad did something he thought was very kind for my mum. He took these VHS videotapes for all the younger people in the room. It's how we used to watch movies. And he digitized them, put it on a USB flash drive, and we all gathered around the TV to watch the time that my mum was on Wheel of Fortune. True story. It was in the early 90s. I can't remember which year it was. But Catherine was a star on Wheel of Fortune. In fact, she was a champion. They invited her back a couple of years later for the Champions Challenge. And Catherine won a car on Wheel of Fortune too, mind you. That was the car I learned to drive on. And so thank you very much for that. But it was very funny watching my mum. Her accent was almost British. I feel like she was channeling her inner Lady Di vibes. Like, she had the bob haircut and spoke very proper. And I'm like, you go, Mum, you go. She hated it. She hated gathering around the TV. And she started trying to tell me, it's like, come on, we're not called to look backwards. We're called to look forwards. And I'm like, don't you try and preach at me. I'll preach my way out of any situation. So I started to tell her about the rear vision mirror and the windshield. And besides, it was a great opportunity for my wife and my sister-in-law, who were not there in the early 90s, to know what our family went through. Some of our experiences. I said, come on, this is good for them. And so we had a great time glancing back. But to be honest, remembering is important. How we remember and what we remember is very important. And as I was driving to church today, looking out my windshield, I had these mirrors that I could look in on my car. And I dare say if you drove to church today, you would have seen the same thing if you paid attention to it on just one of your mirrors. Just one of the three mirrors that you look back on, one either side and one up the top there. The one right closest to the driver has these words written in the bottom. It says, the objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear. The objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear. What are they trying to say? They say, when you look at this, don't take this as gospel because your vision's actually distorted. It gives you a fraction of an idea, but not the whole idea of what's going on. Something is distorted in the view. You see, some things are worth remembering, but the way we remember things and the way you may be looking back in your life could be distorting the view of actually what's behind you. Now, if you look up what the word remember means, it means to recall, bring it back to your mind by an act or effort of memory, to think of something again, or it means to retain, to hold in your memory, to keep in mind and to remain aware of. To be honest, after coming through the kind of time that we did last year, and possibly people in this room still in the middle of some things, I feel like God gave me this word to encourage you today about how we look back. And if you look at this word behind me, remember, break it up into two parts. Re, again, member. The only correlation I could find in my head to explain this thought, sorry if this upsets anyone, but compare it to the word dismember. That's weird, isn't it? If you've ever been hunting or fishing, or sorry for any vegans in the room, but you know, you may catch an animal and then you have to dismember it. You take it apart piece by piece, dispose of the bits you don't want, clean the bits you do want. You are taking something apart piece by piece. Remembering is the opposite. You are putting something back together bit by bit. You are putting the past back together piece by piece in your mind, bringing something back into our thoughts and putting the experience back together. But here's the challenge. If you put your past back together in your mind, but your view or your perspective is distorted, you might make decisions for your future based on a wrong view of your past. See, this can happen with any experience we go through. We all remember different things in our lives from things that we've been through. But we've had someone come and preach in our church a couple of times who is highly trained in the area of brain science. And she talks about the thoughts that we can hold in our mind. And when we have negative thoughts in our mind, literally, if you were to do a brain scan, they will show up what looks like a dead tree. But if you are to have positive thoughts in your mind, they also show up as a tree, but a live and a lush ones. Physically, when you actually do a brain scan, you can see these thoughts as they're active. And she talks about the power of going back and taking experiences that you've been through, and instead of remembering the worst of those experiences, actually going back and picking out and remembering the best of those experiences. Now, I'm not talking about playing make-believe in your head. Like, you know, that time last year in the middle of the year when everyone was in lockdown, but the Prime Minister let me out of the country on a private jet, and I flew to LA and I went to Disneyland, and it was the best time ever. Like, yeah, that never happened. You can't just implant that memory and be like, yeah, it was the best. No, you're lying to yourself. But we all have things that we go through that are maybe traumatic or maybe negative experiences, but you can look back on some of those things and say, yeah, but this was something great that came out of it. And while it wasn't fun, this was something good that God did in the midst of it. And all of a sudden, what you're doing is you're changing something that is toxic and dead into something that is alive and lush. You see, how we remember things is so important. Honestly, the past year that we've all been through, we all have our own perspective and experience individually. Months on end, day after day, cooped up in the same house, financially impacted, some in this room more than others, relationally impacted, every single one of us, missing important life experiences and critical moments, added pressures and burdens in the home. And now when I turn on my TV, I have someone in a news conference telling me that I have to get used to a new normal in my life. Get stuffed. That's how I feel. Well, look, I'm not making a political statement. If you want me to get used to scanning QR codes and you need to take my temperature, no worries. But I don't want a life experience or a person on a TV to try and dictate what I can do in my future. You're trying to tell me that I can't dream anymore? You're trying to tell me that I can't set my eyes on making a great difference in this world? It's like, no. My new normal is the same as old, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He was good then He's good now. And if He has a destiny and a calling over my life then He has one now. You want to take my temperature a few times? No worries. But the Bible says the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. That if I don't let a life experience or a political person try and dictate my future, then God has still got a destiny for me. Come on, it's time to be forward focused. It's time to set our eyes on heaven. It's time to be praying into the vision and the dream and the destiny that God created you for. That's what I'm saying. I'm not making a political statement. I'm saying, come on, God has a plan for your life, and that has not changed. Truthfully, there were some things about last year that were difficult for me. I lost count of the nights that I sat on this stage in a room that was very empty and very cold. Literally, it was very cold because in the middle of winter, like it cost too much money to heat this entire room just for two people, so we didn't heat it. So physically, it was actually literally quite cold, but also like emotionally, it was pretty cold. And we like being in a room that's full of people. And so to look out over this exact room and see people this morning, oh, you can't understand how good that is. But man, it was hard some nights to sit up here trying to think of something funny to do again. How many eggs can I crack on my head tonight? Trying to think of another way to explain hope. Trying to think of another positive message. Now, it was an honor, but there were nights that were difficult. And I could look back on the experience of last year and I could move forward into my future just remembering how hard last year was. Oh, it was hard. How difficult it was. And truthfully, that's what happened. There were days that were harder than others. There were nights that I really didn't feel like being here. And I could move forward just going, thank God we're not there anymore. That was such a bad year. That was such a terrible year. What I went through and then what other people went through, so bad. I could move forward just remembering all the bad things. But what I've learned over the years is I'd far prefer God's word and God's character to frame my thoughts, my feelings, and my memories rather than simply my perspective of what I went through. So what is it about the character of God and who He is that could impact how I remember the experience of last year? Well, quite simply, I could remember that I got to see God's faithfulness throughout the year, no matter what was going on. I could remember that I got to partner with others to preach hope night after night after night. Even though I felt alone, I actually never was. There was always at least another person here. And the Bible says it is not good that man should be alone. I was never alone last year, thank God. I could remember how I got to spend more time with my family at home. If it wasn't for last year, we would have been out and traveling and I would have missed chunks of my daughter's first year of life. I got to be there for that. What else could I remember? I could remember how I got to see how our church responded the way we did, how we decided to step up and feed hundreds and thousands of people, how we decided that we were going to gather for church no matter the number they allowed us to have, how we decided that we were going to have our urban life leaders. My goodness, how amazing were our urban life leaders in calling and caring for people. That's what I want to remember about last year. I want to turn back and remember, yeah, it wasn't the best of circumstances, but God was good and God was faithful and God was amazing and God was powerful and God provided and God still moved. That's what I want to remember. See, I've heard stories of people reevaluating their entire life based on the experience of last year. The problem is, if our vision is distorted and we're looking at an experience isolated from the truth of God, we can have a wrong view of our future. Come on, I want to remember some things about God for a moment. What do we need to remember, put back together in our mind about our God that can help us build a framework for the future that God wants to take us into? Can I share three things with you today? That's just the introduction. I got 3 points about God that I want us to remember. Now, the reality, there's probably 3 billion things we could talk about. We're going to be finding out for the rest of eternity how great His goodness is. But I just picked 3 today. They're simple. But if we would remember, recall, put this back into our mind about who God is, about what's in God's word, if we could have that foremost in our mind, I believe it makes a great big difference to how we move forward. The vision that we set in front of ourselves, instead of turning and looking back and seeing everything negative, I want to glance back and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank God that storm is gone for the most part, but thank good for what He still did in the midst of it. I'm moving forward. Come on, didn't Pastor Russell preach it last week that we're running to win? We're not running backwards, by the way. We're running forwards. That's what God's got for us. So point number one, turn to your neighbor and say, point one. Remember, God can do anything. I'm going to say it again. I don't really feel like that resounded enough with people. Point one, remember this, God can do anything. Yeah. Ephesians 3 verse 20 in the Message translation, I'm going to prove it to you, it says it right there, God can do anything. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. God can do anything. There is nothing He can't do. There is nothing that happened in the last 12 months, 12 years, or 1200 years that has ever challenged the supremacy of Jesus Christ. He is still victorious. He can still do anything. Matthew 19 says it like this. Jesus says, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things. everything, anything, all things. Do you need healing? Do you need breakthrough? Do you need provision? Do you need peace? Do you need restoration? Do you need freedom? Do you need vision? Do you need faith? Do you need help? Do you need refreshing? Do you need power? Do you need joy? Do you need strength? I got good news for you today. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for Him. Whatever you need, you can find it in His presence. He's still got it. He can do anything. He can do anything. You ready for point two?
Yes.
Point one, God can do anything. Point two, the Holy Spirit is with you. John 14, verse 16 to 17, Jesus speaking to his disciples said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Thank God for the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he lives with you and he will be in you. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, you have God with you. He promised it in the Old Testament. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Here in the New Testament, it's a fulfillment of the promise that he lives in you. That's good news. When you walk in the boardroom, he's there with you. When you walk into your office, he is there with you. When you're sitting at your kitchen table with your family, he is there with you. When you're walking into the classroom, he is there with you. When you're making that business proposal, he is there with you. When you're interacting with that colleague, he is there with you. No matter where you go, the Holy Spirit is with you. And thank God for that, because there's places I go and conversations I'm in. I don't know what to say. I don't know what move to make. But if God is with me, that's good news. I'm never alone. Even if I was locked up in a house with no one else living there last year, I was never alone. God was with me. God's with me. The Holy Spirit is with you. That verse just there called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Thank God for the Spirit of truth. There's plenty of facts in the world. I want truth. I said this in the last service. If you don't come to Planet Shakers, or maybe you've only been a couple of times, sometimes we talk about this, how there are many, many facts in the world, and we're not fact deniers. There are facts in the world. For example, if I go to the doctor and I get a doctor's report, that's a fact. Whatever's written on there, that's a fact. Sometimes doctors get it wrong. You know, I'm in a hole now. I've dug myself a hole. If you're a doctor here this morning, of course, you never get anything wrong. You're the best. But you know, you get a diagnosis from the doctor. That's a fact. I'll look at that and say, yeah, sure, it's factual. It allows me to know what I can pray for. But thank God there's something higher that we have access to. It's called truth. The truth is, he is my healer. The truth is, by his stripes, I am healed. The truth is, I can look at that report and say, that might be a fact, but it's now shown me exactly what I need to pray for. Thank you, fact, for showing me what I need to apply the truth over in my life. I'm not here to deny there's lots of facts in the world, but if we live by that, we're going to be very negative people. I want to know that God is good and good all the time, that there is nothing that is impossible for him, that he is always with me, which means it doesn't matter what fact that I'm facing, God is always with me. Nothing is impossible for him. There's no obstacle, no mountain that is too large for our God. That's good news. Come on, I like remembering this a lot more. This is a lot more fun to remember. Are you ready for the third point? Are you ready for the third point? Yeah, it doesn't work without you. God can do anything, point one. The Holy Spirit is with you, point two. Point three, I love this one. This is a good one. Stay planted. Stay planted. Now you might think it's a little bit self-serving for a pastor to stand on stage and say, come on, you gotta stay planted in the church. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's like, we're not here to preach opinion or convenience, but the Word of God. So let me simply show you. Psalm 92 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Doesn't that sound like a great future? Isn't that what we all want in our life? Wouldn't that be a brilliant way to live our life, to be fresh and flourishing every day that we wake up, to be fruitful even into our old age? I tell you what the key is. The key is not convenience. Last year, we did a lot of this online. And I'm so thankful that we get to do it. You wake up sick on a Sunday, can't get out of bed, guess what? You can have church right where you are. You live in a country, for everyone watching online, that maybe you don't have access to a church, and we have lots of those people watching. I'm so glad that we get to provide this to whatever home that you're in right now. That's powerful. But you're here in Melbourne? Come on, don't be duped into thinking that that is the wholeness of what God has for you. We are called to be the church, the ecclesia. It means the gathered together ones. That's gathered together physically. That's what God has called us to be, that we would be together in community. That's what being planted in the house of God is. So I promise you, some people after the last year, I was like, well, that's convenient. I can wake up on a Sunday, just sit on my couch for 90 minutes. I don't have to drive in and find a park. I don't have to get my kids all ready and check them into Planet Kids. I can just sit on my couch and just have church for 90 minutes and I've done my duty. You're missing out. Bible says those that are planted, not those that observe from a distance, those that are planted. I want you to be fresh and flourishing. Come on, if you really love your friend and your neighbor and your family member, surely you would want them to be fresh and flourishing as well. This is why that's what I want for your life, that you would be fresh and flourishing. There is a promise that is attached to being planted. Being planted is good for everyone together, by the way. When the room is full and we have many, many, many services, let's be honest, together, when we have 10 and 20 and 50 and 100,000 people together, we could go from feeding thousands to tens of thousands a week. We could go from having great impact to greater impact. So there's a corporate blessing from more and more being planted. But there's a personal promise. There's a personal promise for you that if you as a person, individual, when you are planted, you will be fresh and you will be flourishing. That's good news. I don't know how you feel after last year, but that's what I want for my future. I want to be fresh and flourishing all over this room. Do me a favor, would you stand to your feet? I missed a verse, I'm gonna read it because it's a good one. Hebrews 10, 25 says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now the day of His return is drawing near. Come on, maybe all of us in this room could look over this room and go, where's that friend that I used to hang out with? Where's that person that used to sit over there? Give them a call on the way home. We got two more services this afternoon. We got a whole weekend of services next weekend. Pick them up and bring them into church yourself. If you care for them and want them to be fresh and flourishing, let me tell you, that's a great place to bring them. That's a great way to live our lives. It's the reason I felt to preach this today. Because part of me feels angry. Not with you. But I get upset when I think about how people have been impacted from the last year. And the fact that maybe people are feeling stuck in the emotional depression or the heaviness of what we've gone through. But I wanted to encourage at least those of us that are in this room and those of us that are watching online today, can we please remember, above our experiences, God can do anything. Nothing that we've gone through has ever changed that. God can do anything. God is always with us. And when we're planted, we are living our best life. It doesn't mean we don't go through storms, but come on, this is the greatest way we can live our life. Remembering, knowing, having it deep inside of us as a revelation in our spirit that no matter what I see with my eyes, I know deep down here, God can do anything. God can do anything. God is always with me. When I'm planted, I'm fresh and I'm flourishing.
Hey, it's been so great that you've been able to join us today. I hope that your faith is filled. If you have any prayer requests or you want to connect with us any further at Planet Shakers, why don't you be a part?